it is JamesFishAllFunk.com.
Let's go.
We got another solo episode. And I think I'm gonna rework the format a little bit for the solo show so that you guys maybe get a little bit better of a show. I don't know. I've heard from people saying that they like the solo shows, that they enjoy it. So maybe just a little bit of tweaking. If you have suggestions, shoot me an email, james@survivalpunk.com. And I'll see what, you know, see what we can do. I feel that, I don't know, maybe you guys really, really do like the solo shows where I usually take one whole topic and just, you know, knock it out the park. And instead of, the multiple different segments that we have, you know, to keep the Couch Potato Mike and I episodes, fun and interesting. And definitely, those shows have less ums. And sometimes when I'm by myself, my pacing gets a bit off, and I'm just like, rah, 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 and I talk too fast, and I ramble on. That's the way I fucking do my shows. So, today, this one may or may not be a two-part episode. I don't really know. It looks like the storyboarding... Oh, sorry about that. The storyboarding for the episode was a bit long. Go off, TV. No, TV, go off. We're having technical difficulties here, gentlemen. And ladies. There we go. I was watching Forge and Fire and History Channel. Really good new show. I'm kind of... Well, I guess it's not new. There, I'm rambling again. The word, it's like a elimination type. It's like one of those cooking shows, like Chopped, where you get like four contestants, but instead of cooking, they're making a knife, and you get eliminated each round. And then it's an interesting show, and it really makes me want to hurry up and build my forge, which I haven't done yet. I did build a pull-up bar out in the yard, which also doubles as a hammock station. So we've got rigs to hang. God, what was the maximum number of hammocks we can hang? Six, maybe eight. Six or eight hammocks. A lot of hammocks. And that's, we could probably do three more if we double hung all of them. So we can hang a lot of hammocks. So that's, you know, me, Catch Potato Mike, his wife, and their kids can all hang hammocks at the same time, this little rig. And I'm going to put a power squat bar up there so that I can do my CrossFit workouts out there and then relax in the hammock and take a nap afterwards. And I'm sure we've got pictures on Facebook. Facebook.com/survivalpunk. Go give us a like. But yeah, today's episode is from listener Ryan, not Rain. She sent me this idea a while ago and I'd kind of kicked it around, put it in the back of my head. And when I was looking for ideas for today's show, I was like, well, I haven't done that. And then it actually gave me an idea for a different show, a little bit sort of broader. Okay, the shit has hit the fan. It's time to bug out. What do you do? And I was sort of going through the list of things like, you know, if the shit hit the fan and my decision was to bug out in that situation, you know, these are the things that I would go through and I would do. Your mileage may vary. And if you have things that I did not include, please send me an email and, or comment, go to the episode. So I try to remember to do this. I'm rambling again. I try to remember to name the episodes easy so you can go find them. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher or somewhere else and you want to go to the website to leave a comment, and I recommend you do, that would be awesome, high five, you can go to survivalpunk.com/episode97, one word, no spaces, all lowercase, episode 97, bam, this episode, leave a comment. And I try to do that for all the episodes, but I forget occasionally. I need to make a podcast checklist of like, do this, do this. Did you do that? Did you do that? I'm kind of winging this. I'm not really a pro at this. I do it because I like doing it, but I'm getting better, I think, or I'm getting worse. Fuck, I don't know. definitely more comfortable on the microphone or the laptop microphone because we never bought microphones. But anyway, so the shit hits the fan. What now? First, I would send a message, probably a text message or a Facebook message, but probably text to everyone that I plan to bug out with or that I want to give warning to. Especially if you're planning on bugging out with friends and family to a location, I think it's best to pick an activation word, like something you would never text, something that, like, not like, "Hey, we're bugging out, let's go." That was my Wisconsin accent. a code word, something that won't come up in normal conversation, and that you only have talked about offline. So you're in person, and you're like, "Hey, the activation code is fried pineapple." Is that a thing? Do people fry pineapple? I don't know. So fried pineapple, you know, and the shit hits the fan. You get, say, early warning, or you just happen to know first. You shoot fried pineapple, you know, to everyone, and that lets them know, "Oh, the shit has hit the fan. It's time to bug out. We're going to make plans to meet up at the rendezvous point." So I would do that first, especially if there's time. If it's, "Hey, nuclear power plant went off and you need to leave right now," that alters your timeline. And I think I mentioned this throughout this episode that it varies based on how much time you have to prepare for the situation to leave. Freak accident, the volcano's going off in Washington, you need to leave. Well, you need to get in your car and leave now. You should have a pack in your car ready to go. Or some people tend to keep their bug out bag by the door. Whatever your choice, you need to grab your pack and go right then. You know, if you have more time, if it's, you've got 4 hours to get ready, then that sort of, you know, maximizes what you can do. The list of things I'm going over is, this is like optimal. Like, if you've got enough time, do all these. If you don't, start, you know, triaging things off the list. Like, I gotta leave now. Fuck that last thing. You know, you prioritize. You get the things that are more important and to you. This needs to be customized to you. This is sort of all the things I could think of. You need to listen to me and alter it for your needs. Don't ever just like, I hate that shit on the internet. It's like, this is the ultimate survival need list thing. You know, you need these 37. You need what the fuck you need is what you need. So take it, absorb it, and make it your own. So, and what's next? So, didn't even look at the list. So, what's the time you have to prepare to leave? So, you kind of should know, like, if it's like, you know, an emergency, like a gas spill coming towards you, a volcano, something like that, floods are coming, you kind of gotta leave fast. If it's, you know, collapse or anything, whatever your timeline is, alter that towards what you need to do. So time and severity alters what you do next. So you have a 2-hour warning that a meteorite is going to hit the world and destroy it completely. Well, in that case, you go to the store, get beer, and sit on your roof and watch that shit. I mean, there's nothing you're going to do. Even if you have, like, the world's best ultimate survival bunker ever created, maybe you'll live. Maybe you'll be, like, in your pod floating around the universe. But eventually, you're going to be... Who really wants to live like that? I mean, nobody. Nobody. So, you know, you got to alter that. You've got an hour and a volcano's coming at you. You know, lava flow or pyroclastic ash, you know, which goes a lot faster. I don't know if you'd have an hour to get ready. That's get in your car and get the fuck out of there right then. You know, like I said, or you've got an insider buddy that leaks you a tip that I don't know, the dollar's going to collapse, and maybe you want to head to your bug out cabin for a few months while things calm down. Well, you got time then. You know, like no one else knows. You got plenty of time. The roads aren't going to be crazy. So time and severity alters what you do next. like we said, if you just have a little time, just go. You know, if you have more, go down the list. And I suggest that you have a bug out plan checklist. So you should have a bug out plan, you know, in case of emergency, do this, 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 or this. I kind of think of it like, well, I've dabbled in computer programming, and it's a lot of like, if this, do this, if that, do that. I kind of think of the bug out plan in programming language. So if this happens, do this, you know, for generalities. You're not going to break it down for like, if tornado hits your backyard, do this. If tornado hits your front yard, do this. No. You kind of break it down to, you know, threat levels, like threat level one, do this. You know, flood, do that. You know, you can break it down as much as you want and then have as many like if this, do thises. So, you know, but a general checklist of like, it ensures you don't forget everything. I have in the past made these like vacation checklists. Like, hey, you're going on vacation. You should make a checklist because you're forgetful, James, and you will forget stuff. I actually used to do that for work. I had a work checklist on my door. So before I walked out the door, it's like, James, do you have keys? Yes. Wallet. You know, and I'm touching myself as I go, like, I'm not touching myself. You know, I'm like, wallet, yes. Box cutter, yes. You know, you go down the list and you're like, okay, you have everything. Now you can leave. Especially in, you know, like, that's like just morning, you know, tired grogginess. In a disaster scenario, you got a whole different level of stress going on. So having that checklist of like, do you have this, 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 and this? And then once you've gone down that list, you're like, okay, I can go now. I'm good. It just sort of takes that chance of fuck up away, because it's gonna happen. I mean, it happens like when you move. It happens when you go on vacation. You're always gonna forget something. Oh my God! A couple years ago, when me and some friends went to New Orleans, for Mardi Gras, our plan was to stay in rest stops, which is something I've done before, by myself, not with friends. Three people, one car, not the best trip ever. But my plan was to just walk out into the woods by the rest stops and throw up one of my hammocks. Great idea. And that would have, you know, put two people in the car, and two people in a car, that's kind of doable, you know. But you know, one of the seats can lean back. You can sit in the back seat. Both of you can have the front seats lean back. It works out better than three people in the car anyway. I fucking forgot my hammock. Like, number one, like, don't forget the hammock. Forgot the hammock. So, checklist. Definitely have a checklist. And like I said earlier, triage off the things based on time. You know, if it's like the very last thing on there is, you know, I don't know, something stupid, leave that off. I don't know, like, I don't know. We'll go through my list and then you can decide what you need to add to your list, or what is on my list that doesn't need to be on your list. I've even included things on here that I necessarily don't need to even do in the first place. So, my tiny house living situation is a bit different than your maxi house living situation or apartment. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're a homeowner, some of these things are a lot different than if you're an apartment dweller. You really don't need to. I mean, you're not gonna turn off your gas line or something in an apartment. That would be the apartment's issue. Same thing with, well, some other stuff. So, make your checklist. Have it ready. Number one, take your Bob to the car if it's not there. Check that it's packed in order. You know, I don't mean that take everything out, examine everything. Give it a quick run through. You know, if you know that you've taken something out and used it and haven't replaced it, quickly replace it. You know, like, you know, you keep your bug out bag in your car and you're at the park or something, and your friends and the bugs start biting, you're like, I'm a survivalist. I have bug spray. Let me go get it. You know, or just like Band-Aids and stuff. Just, you know, and then you dip into it, which is good. No, it's good. I definitely like that over the people that have their, you know, like they know because they saw the list, but they've never opened anything. They don't, have never used it. They don't know if even if it says it's a good product, it actually is crap. You know, I've read reviews on stuff before and seen like good endorsements, and personally, it did not work for me. So there's that. I highly encourage you to test and try to break everything in your bug out bag. That way you can know you can rely on it. So yeah, and if you know you've taken something out, you know, one of those like consumable type items that you use often, you know, I'm sure like I used to dip into like my Lore bars and stuff I kept in my bug out bag all the time, and I would just rotate them because that way I didn't want to keep them in there for years on end. You know, you use your bug out food, especially your snacky type items. You know, you know, I keep different things. I eat paleo, so you know, I'd keep like Lore bars and you know, jerkies and sausages and you know, stuff like that. I would try to rotate through that because a lot of stuff doesn't have like 7 year lifespan like Mountain House meals do. So I would just you know. Every few months or so, like I would just go through it. Like it would swap out that often. And that works best for me. So if you know you've used something, change that. If you carry water containers in your bug out bag, and I've always been a fan of that. I usually keep them empty, obviously. Fill them up when you get ready to bug out. So, you know, I take all my Nalgenes if I've got I think my current pack doesn't have a water bladder, but I've got a water bladder that I can sort of nest to it. I would fill that as well, and then I could put that on, then wear the bug out bag over it, and then I have quick, easy access to it. Some people hate the water bladders. It kind of give or takes. I actually need to get a new one or find my old one and clean it out. Especially for hikes, I really just like them. It's just easy to have water, and I've tried some of the little sippy cups and like the Nalgene things, and I just don't like them. And I don't know. And if you try to drink from like a wide mouth Nalgene while hiking, you know, you get that the face full of water. Like you try to sip it, like you're tipping it back, and then it's just all over your face, you know. So water bladders are way better. For me, check your water containers. So the next level would be, so if you have a quick gotta go, grab your you know, check your bob, fill the water, put it in your car, go. So goodbye. This is the end of the episode for you. If you have more time, though, stick around. So I like the idea of having bug out totes, especially if you're going to, and obviously you should, to your bug out location. Have extra things either ready to go or have totes ready to be packed to go. So if you have the space, me in a tiny house, not so much with the extra space. But if you have the space, you can have these totes prepared with, you know, batteries, extra food, beans, rice, whatever, you know, whatever you have stored. Pack them up, put the date on them, and just have them ready to go. So you can grab the tote, throw it in your car, truck, vehicle, whatever you have. And it's sort of quick, you know, it's extra food, and those plastic totes are easy to carry, easier by far than, you know, grocery bags or some shit, or boxes, stupid boxes. No, get those plastic totes, they're not that expensive, whatever. If you don't have the space, then you can have the totes without stuff in them. You can put them in it anywhere, really. Fuck, I used to use a case of MREs as an end table. You know, I just had the case and I put like a fancy, okay, not fancy. I had a Spider-Man mini throw blanket that I put over it, so it looked like a Spider-Man end table, but it was really a case of MREs. And you know, people didn't even know that. They're like, "Oh, that's a really cool Spider-Man table you got there." I'm like, "Well, that's a case of MREs. It's emergency food." I of course ended up eating all those MREs, but If you do that, you know, you could have an end table of, and you could make it look better than Spider-Man. I mean, you could put like a glass top on it, and then, you know, fabric underneath it, or have your wife or girlfriend fancy it up, or, you know, whatever. You know, you could just grab that case of MREs. That's ready to go. Or you can have MREs thrown in a tote, or, you know, whatever else. Pack those necessities in that tote and ready to go. Or just, you know, have the tote and then start dumping your pantry into it. So food, water. Yeah, so yeah. If you've got containers to fill up with water, it wouldn't hurt to take a couple extra things of water. You can put them in the totes for easy, or you can just pack them wherever you have room for them. Oh, if you have one of those like bug out vehicles with the like jerry can rig cages on them to hold extra like water and fuel, that would be the best. So after that, so along with the totes or besides the tote, I would just pack up any first aid gear and medicines I happen to have laying around. You know, all of your Advil, Excedrin, all of that, just, you know, when I moved, I actually put all of my medicine cabinet and stuff in a box and just wrote drugs in big letters on it. You know, in case the cops, you know, pulled me over, they'd have a fun time with that, I'm sure. But yeah, I have a few first aid kits packed into, so I have my first aid kit, like level one, in my bug out bag, and then I've got a military, those rolly pack things, packed up with like a much more advanced like first aid kit. And then I've got all the, like, besides just like my medicine cabinet stuff, I've got, you know, a plastic tote just full of first aid stuff. This, like, you know, leftovers from after I build my kits. I've got extra bandages, extra gauze, extra, you know, all sorts of first aid stuff. Take the whole fucking thing, you know. What, I mean, unless you've got a hospital, you know, in your house, most of us that, you know, build first aid kits usually have, like, you know, you can't put all your band-aids in your kit, so you have leftovers, and then you swap them out as you need them. So whatever your main, like, feeding thing is, whatever your all your leftovers are at, grab that whole thing. Just take that all. You really can't ever have too many band-aids. And, you know, Neosporin and everything else you have, take it all, load that up. That's sort of next priority, like food, first aid. Next, and, you know, some of you may move these around a little bit, but this is my priority. After I've got the food, the first aid gear, medicine, next I go to guns. Any of the guns you're taking, you know, me, I would take all of my guns, which is four. I think I have four. I still haven't bought a new handgun after I sold the last one to pay for the moving costs for my tiny house, which is really pissing me off. I really, really need to get a new Glock 19, guys. I'm preferable to it. So any of the guns you're taking, ammo, magazines, cleaning supplies, everything that you are taking, and, you know, space, I mean, if you have a big vehicle and you can take all your guns and you have a lot of guns, more power to you. I usually keep a range bag sort of near my gun cabinet. So it's either packed and ready to go, or I can pack it and take it out, you know, ammunition, cleaning supplies, ear protection, goggles, all that stuff. Ready to go, magazines. It usually, and it's a fairly large range bag, so it usually fits everything, roughly. You know, I may need to have a secondary bag or whatever. So take all that out there, except for your carry firearm, especially if you have a concealed carry permit. But if the shit has truly hit the fan, leave it out anyway. So I'm saying to pack everything except for that, because next, I'm going to tell you to change your clothes. So, chances are, when the shit hits the fan, you're going to be in, you know, your favorite t-shirt and slouchy jeans or something. Or you're going to be in your work clothes. And no one wants to bug out in, like, khakis and a polo. Fuck that. Unless that's what you, unless that's what you happen to want to bug out in. It's definitely not what I want to bug out in. I also don't suggest you bugging out in like full camo. Probably going to draw attention to yourself. But that's just me. I tend to suggest people kind of go the gray mound route. So, you know, wear just plain clothes. You know, just try to be as forgetful as you can. You know, you're not out there peacocking trying to pick up women. You want to like have people look at you and be like, whatever, and just forget them. You know, brown shirts, green shirts, solid color shirts, you know, solid color shoes, blue jeans, those sorts of things. You can buy like sort of higher quality, like, you know, like nylon or, you know, a better material for your pants and shirts and stuff. Just keep it, try to tone down. Like, you don't want to look like, you know, you see those people walking around the damn stores and you're like, oh, that dude's super tactical. He has every like, tactical thing he can possibly get his hands on, but there's a spork in his back pocket. And even you sometimes see those dudes wearing those concealment, you know, vests. You know, they only wear the vest so they can go like IDPA matches and they flip it back and grab their gun. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the vest, guys. Not at all. So yeah, leave your weapon out, change your bug out clothes. This is a good time that if you have bug out clothes, like vacuum sealed and bags ready to go, I would change into a change of clothes and probably take a spare change and a couple things of socks. You know, like one or two changes of underwear, a couple changes of socks, one other pair of pants, maybe one or two shirts besides what you're wearing. And that stuff should be, you know, vacuum packed for, you know, quick and easy storage. They can go in your totes or just open your car anywhere. Depending on the season, you need to take account seasonality. You could be bugging out in, you know, the middle of winter in the north or, you know, Florida summer. So your clothes need to be tailored towards that. Obviously, yeah, Dimitri, Jeff Radke up in Wisconsin doesn't want to bug out in winter and like, well, maybe he does want to bug out in shorts and like a Hawaiian shirt. Most people, though, in the middle of Wisconsin winter don't want to, you know, run out their house, you know, in their skivvies. Just saying. Probably want to have, you know, weather appropriate clothing. And I would say if you take unless you're in Florida, the Bahamas, and you're bugging out, I'd probably say grab a jacket or something just in case, you know, you don't have to wear it, just have it. You know, for bug outs and stuff, I have a goose down coat, and if it's summer, I probably wouldn't take that one. But I have a goose down, it's a jacket, it's not really a coat, it's fairly small. And it fits inside its pocket, so I mean, just throw that in your bug out bag and go. You never know if it'll be like freak cold at night, and then you're like, oh, I only bugged out in like, you know, shorts and a tank top. I'm fucked, you know. Bring something extra. I've got a rainproof hoodie, so I'd probably just throw that in the car, even in, you know, spring or summer. Which, it's spring and it's like 40 degrees here in Tennessee. What the fuck? So, how are we doing on time, guys? I know you're like, we're riveted, James. We don't know. 28 minutes. We're good. So, change of clothes. And like I said, seasonality. You want to change it out based on that. You could incorporate that into your tote system. You could have totes for like, you know, it could have your clothes with your food and everything else, and then you're packed and ready to go. You don't even need to fiddle with it. I keep bug out clothing separate, you know, because I actually don't keep totes, but you can. So now that you're changed, go back to that firearm that you set aside to make sure you didn't forget. Put your holster on. I like to carry two spare magazines. And people are like, if you need more than one magazine, well, shut the fuck up right there. One, you don't know if you may or may not need one more magazine. I've seen news reports where police officers took more than one magazine to put down someone because they're fucking crazy. So, one, you may need more than one magazine. Two, having a spare magazine is good in case you have a mechanical jam. Pop the magazine out, change to a new magazine, keep going. Instead of fiddling with it, pop it, get a new one, come back to the magazine later on if you have a chance. That's why I like having spare magazines. So, now that you've changed your clothes, spare magazines, at this time, now that you have changed your clothes, it's time to gather any EDC items you need on you. Slap on your paracord bracelet, pocket knife or knives, lighters, keys, wallets, etc. You know, basically, if you're preparing to go out into the world, your EDC, like, stuff that you carry normally, you might want to kick it up a slight notch to, like, you know, you're going camping EDC. Some people have, you know, more EDC based on situation. Like, some people have, like, carabiners with trap line and stuff on it. You know, whatever. Go through your EDC list. Gear up now. Don't look like a mall cop, though, guys. Emergency cash. So, if you've got, you know, emergency cash laying around the house and the shit has hit the fan, now's a good time to grab it. You might not want to throw it all in your wallet. It might be a good idea to disperse it. Maybe put some of it in your bug out bag, put some of it in your wallet. Maybe you've got a cash wallet or in your sock, your shoe, you know, glove box, whatever. Depending on how much emergency cash you have, and if it's the absolute, you know for fucking sure you're never coming home again, yeah, wipe that cash out. If you think this is a temporary thing and you think that your home will be safe and or you have a, like, really good hiding spot, maybe leave some of it. You know, like, I've heard there are foundation safes and, you know, whatever else. That's your personal choice. If you're not home to protect your house, you're not home to protect your money. So, that's your choice of whether you want to wipe out that money or you want to save some of it, bury some in the backyard. I don't know. But now would be a good time to get it along with your precious metals. Where am I at on my list? So yeah, gold, silver, if you've got that, platinum, rings, necklaces, whatever, get that. And once again, split it up. Don't put it all in one place. Depending on your vehicle, you may or may not be out of room right now. If you have more room, by all means, fill it up. Keep going. If you've got room for another tote and you've got more stuff in your pantry, fill it up. Another thing you could do, and I'm fancy of this idea. If you're like me, and most of your food is fresh, veggies, steaks, meat, something that's refrigerated, grab a cooler, throw all your stuff in it. If you wrap meat in, like, aluminum foil and, like, wool blankets, they stay cold really long. You gotta think, if this could be a temporary, like, you're gonna be out, you know, in your bug out location for a couple weeks, couple months, and then you think whatever the disaster is, whatever's going on, will calm down and you can return home in a short period of time, then you got to think, if you leave any perishable, you know, items in your fridge or deep freezer or whatever else, you're going to have a health issue there. We were talking about this before on, like, the bugging out to Walmart, don't do it, episode, that stuff goes rancid and becomes a severe health issue. If you've ever seen, like, after, like, Hurricane Katrina and stuff, when they go back into the supermarkets, they have to send in hazmat teams because, you know, the meat goes rancid and it becomes a bacteria, like, haven. Like, so take what you can, throw it in a cooler. If you've got more than you can take, you probably just need to throw it out, like, in your alley or backyard. Like, wild animals will come eat it. Exposed to the open air, it could break down if it isn't all eaten. One, it'll not be a disaster in your house. Two, stray dogs could eat it, birds or whatever. So it's good for that. And if you have to return, that's one less thing in your home that could be fucked up. I mean, you're not going to be walking into, you know, you're not going to have the hazmat up to go in there. So, yeah, I would get that. And, you know, you'll eat. I mean, it won't last forever, especially in a cooler, but it'll probably make it to your bug out location, which shouldn't be more than 6 hours away. So it'll stay cool in that. And then, you know, you just grill out when you get there. yeah, don't want to return to a toxic environment. I was reading my show notes and I meant to write start shutting off utilities. I said start shitting off utilities. I'm like, shitting? What are you toilet? What are you doing? Shut off the utilities. So, especially if you believe that, okay, what if you have time? If you're running low on time, fuck it, just go. If you have time and if you think there is a good chance you will be returning to your home, start shutting off the utilities. Turn off the water, turn off the gas if you have it, shut off the electricity. That just eliminates things like you could have a water pipe burst and then when you get back, society is rebuilding itself or whatever. You've got to deal with that. You know, electricity, you could have electrical fire and come back to nothing. If you have the time, there's no reason to not shut off all your utilities. It gets rid of ghost charges. Like, if you get back, the last thing you want, you know, is the electric company or the water company to be like, you owe us $17,000. So, you know, fuck, suck, you know. So, and God forbid that debts will never go away. You'll come back from the apocalypse and they'll be like, oh, you owed us some money, so, you know, give us our money. There's no reason to not just turn off your utilities. I've heard things about draining out your water heater. I don't have a water heater, so if you look into that, I would drain it. Especially if you're not coming back, at least in the near future. Just get that water out of there so it's not going to be stagnant, you know, Legionnaire's disease, whatever. If you don't have time, just don't even worry about it. It's no big deal. it's one of those things like, if you've got time, go ahead and drain that out. It's just one less thing. If this is society's gone, you will never come back to the shithole of a house again. Fuck it. It's not that big of a deal anyway. Let's see. Make sure no personal items are left behind. So nothing that can lead to your bug out location, no bank info, nothing like that. You know, some people, like, this would be a good time to grab, if you've got room for it, especially family pictures, whatnot, make sure you can take that. You know, like, and everyone has that fucking shoebox full of, like, every W-2 they've ever had, because someone's like, you better keep those W-2s, you'll need them one day, you know, and, like, pay stubs, just bullshit, just burn all that. You know, there's no reason to bug out with your fucking W-2s. Just burn all that shit. You don't want some criminal getting it, but you're not going to need it if society has collapsed. You know, like, go through your personal things and decide, you know, like, will I need this, you know, for, like, proof of who I am, whatever. You know, like, marriage certificate. We won't even go down. I don't believe the government should be in marrying, but if you are married and you have a certificate to prove that you are married, take that. Pay stuff from your job you had like 10 years ago, burn that shit. You don't need it. You know, so just go through all that. If you've got like, say you backed up and have a spare copy of your bug out plans, and you're not going to take that, like, you have your copy, and this was an extra copy. Burn it. Burn it. There's too much valuable information in there. I didn't even mention it, but electronic devices, take your computer, take your cell phone. If you have old ones laying around that may have information on them, old computers or something you're not using, it's your call, really. If you really have valuable data on an old hard drive that you're not going to be using and you don't think you will ever come back ever again, you probably want to, smash it with an axe a few times. That's kind of in the realm of, you really have a little extra time to go. Otherwise, I think getting to your bug out location is a bit more important. But if you are if you're really that worried about it, yeah. I probably wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't. I'm not even gonna lie. I would not do that. Is an option for you if you are so paranoid that you believe the government may break into your home after the apocalypse and may find personal information on you. You may want to take a hatchet and smash your hard drive to many pieces. Just saying, it's there for you. And you should have digital copies of all these important things anyway. Your personal documents, obviously. And they should be on your person. I did an article on a bomb-proof thumb drive one time. Put your personal information on that thing because it looks like trash. It's pieces of pipe. And it's waterproof and goddamn bomb-proof. This is going to seem weird. And once again, like I said, everything in this list depends on how much time you have. And we're getting towards the end of the list now, and some of these things are like, meh, fuck it. But you gotta factor in, if you have time, and if you plan on returning, then these things are the icing on the cake. Take the trash outside. If you have any trash inside, if you have cans outside, I would just throw them outside. Because much like the meat thing, they're going to have stuff in it. They're going to draw flies and bugs and insects. They may go rancid. They may become, dangerous. Put your trash outside. And like I said, if you have time, do that. If you don't, get the fuck out. Lock your doors and windows. I mean, even in an apocalypse, maybe people will skip over places if the doors are locked. I kind of doubt it. If I was a marauder, and I would not be, I would kick in a door. If society has not gone that bad, say you have local rioting or something, and you just don't feel safe, you want to get you and your family out. Locking the doors when there is still some semblance of rule of law will be better. Thieves will skip over doors for easier pickings. So there's that. Another thing of the, if you think this is temporary and if you'll be returning home, would be if you can go to the post office ahead of time and get those mail hold cards and leave one of those in your mailbox. That way your mailbox doesn't get filled up when and if mail is being delivered, being a sure sign that there is no one home to get their mail, so that makes it a prime target. Sort of some of the same advice you get when going on vacation would be good. If you have one of those cards, fill it out, ready to go, throw it in your glove box, you're bugging out, throw it in the mailbox, put the little arrow thing up, the handle, they'll hold your mail. They don't know you're bugging out. I'm on vacation. Fuck it. I'm in the Bahamas. Whatever. It's one of those things where, if you have time and if you think you're coming back, it can't hurt anything. Or you can have it forwarded to your bug out location, or that's a dumb idea. Forget I said that. Do not have it forwarded to your bug out location. No. Just no. but yeah, having the mail held, probably good. So pull out of the driveway, throw in your mail holding card, flip the little handle up, head to your rally point. That is how we bug out, my friends. That was a fun episode. And we're right at 44 minutes. Bang! So, if I forgot something, you go to survivalpunk.com/episode97 and leave me a comment like, oh, James, you stupid motherfucker, you totally forgot this, dude. You know, like, oh, you forgot to pack up your vintage records, man. I don't have vintage records. But maybe that's important to you. So if I forgot something or if something's important to you and you have it on your list or you would like to do it, drop me a comment. Episode 97. So, oh, and, you know, drop by the episode, leave me a comment, on how you feel about these solo episodes. If you think that I could flesh them out more with, you know, some segments or if you really like, you know, the going long on the solo topics, you know, and I usually don't even do ads and stuff on these solo episodes. I mean, I don't have any real sponsors right now. But I have affiliates, and you know, if you're buying from Amazon and you go to survivalpunk.com, there's a little Amazon button in the side, and if you click that, you go buy whatever you want to buy from Amazon, and I make a fraction of a penny. And you don't have to pay more, but I get a fraction of a penny. And I like pennies, so I can buy more Amazon books. So yeah. Send me an email, jamesfarrellpunk.com, or leave me a comment. Survivalpunk.com/episode97. Tell me what you think, suggestions, whatnot. And with that, DIY to survive, guys.